I am now going to read chapter 5 of Ajahn Sujin's book on the perfections. Chapter 5, The Perfection of Wisdom. The commentary to the Basket of Conduct defines the perfection of wisdom as follows. I quote, "Wisdom, panya, has the characteristic of penetrating the real specific nature of dhammas, or the characteristic of sure penetration, like the penetration of an arrow shot by a skillful archer. Its function is to illuminate the objective field, like a lamp. Its manifestation is non-confusion, like a guide in the forest. Concentration, or the Four Noble Truths, is its proximate cause." Unquote. Through the study of the Dhamma, we gradually come to have more understanding of the vicissitudes of the world, of gain and loss, honor and dishonor, praise and blame, well-being and pain. We shall gradually come to understand that the pleasant worldly conditions of gain, honor, praise and well-being only lead to dukkha, suffering, if there is no panya that knows the causes and their appropriate results in life. If someone truly sees the value of panya, he will not wish for pleasant results, he will not wish for pleasant sense objects as results, but he will aim for the growth of panya until it has become keen and accomplished to the degree that it can completely eradicate defilements. Satipatthana, right understanding of the mental phenomena and physical phenomena of our life, cannot be developed without panya. No matter how many other excellent qualities someone may have, his defilements cannot be eradicated if panya does not develop and becomes keener, if panya does not clearly see the true nature of the realities that are naturally appearing. Thus, we should see the incomparable value of panya, and we should apply ourselves to its development so that it can become fully accomplished. If we develop satipatthana time and again, panya will gradually accumulate it so that it becomes keener and reaches the degree of a perfection which realizes the Four Noble Truths. We read in the Kudaka Nikaya, in the commentary to the Basket of Conduct, the conduct of Yudanjaya, about the beginning of the development of panya during the life the Bodhisattva was young Yudanjaya. And I quote, "In his life, when the Bodhisattva was Yudanjaya, he was the eldest son of the king and had the rank of viceroy. He fulfilled every day Mahadana, the giving of an abundance of gifts. One day, when he visited the royal park, he saw the dewdrops hanging like a string of pearls on the treetops, the grass tips, the end of the branches, and on spiders' webs. The prince enjoyed himself in the royal park, and when the sun rose higher, all the dewdrops that were hanging there disintegrated and disappeared, and he reflected thus, 'These dewdrops came into being and then disappeared. Even so are conditioned realities, the lives of all beings. They are like the dewdrops hanging on the grass tips.' That is what he thought for himself. He felt a sense of urgency and became disenchanted with the worldly life, so that he took leave of his parents and became a recluse." Unquote. From this story, we can learn that people have different degrees of understanding. We may see dewdrops hanging on grass tips, but who has the panya to the degree of causing a sense of urgency and disenchantment when he compares his own life with the evanescent dew? We further read, quote, "The Bodhisattva realized the impermanence of the dewdrops and made this predominant in accumulating a sense of urgency and disenchantment. It arose once and then became a condition leading to its arising very often." Unquote. When right understanding with a sense of urgency arises, we should not let it pass by without paying attention to it. We should reflect on the conditions for this sense of urgency so that it can arise more often. The thought of death and impermanence can be a condition for further developing the perfections. The commentary to the conduct of Yudhanjaya explains about the beginning of panya in that life of the Bodhisattva, and we read, quote, "By offering Mahadana before he retired from the world, and by his giving up of the kingdom, he fulfilled the perfection of giving. By his restraint in action and speech, he fulfilled the perfection of sila. By his going forth from worldly life, and by his attainment of jhana, he fulfilled the perfection of renunciation. In that life, panya began to develop by wise consideration of impermanence, and in that way he finally attained the higher powers, abhinyas, and the panya which could distinguish the dhammas that were beneficial from those that were not beneficial for the development of generosity and other ways of kusala, and this was the perfection of panya. By energy for the accomplishment of what was beneficial in all his undertakings, he fulfilled the perfection of energy. By patience associated with panya, nana kanti, and by endurance, arivasana kanti, he fulfilled the perfection of patience. By not speaking wrongly, deviating from what he had promised, he fulfilled the perfection of truthfulness. By his unshakable determination in all that he undertook and observed, he fulfilled the perfection of determination. By the power of the divine abiding of loving kindness, thinking only of the benefit of all beings, he fulfilled the perfection of loving kindness. By his even-mindedness towards beings' contrary behavior, and by the divine abiding of equanimity, he fulfilled the perfection of equanimity. These are the ways by which he fulfilled the 10 perfections." Unquote. The perfection of panya is essential for the development of the other perfections in the right way. We should remember that the goal of the development of the perfections is panya, which penetrates the Four Noble Truths. Since its development to that degree takes an endlessly long time, panya, in its turn, is also dependent on the other perfections. We can notice in this life that someone who has developed the perfections will be inclined to listen to the Dhamma, whereas someone who has not developed the perfections just does not see the benefit of the development of panya and does not want to listen to the Dhamma. Even though there is still opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma, he is not interested in listening. A person who has already developed the perfection of panya to a certain extent wishes to understand and to know the true nature of realities, no matter where he is born, or even if he is born into a family where there is wrong view. We read in the questions of Pingiya, Kuladidesa of the Kudaka Nikaya, that the Brahmin Pingiya, who was 120 years old, asked the Buddha, and I quote, "I am old and weak, I have lost my beauty, and moreover, my eyesight and my hearing are not clear. Meanwhile, Lord Buddha, may I not go astray. May the Lord explain the Dhamma that he penetrated, the Dhamma that makes an end to birth and old age." Unquote. A person with Panya would not ask for anything else but hearing the true Dhamma which makes an end to birth and old age. Although Pingiya was 120 years old, he wanted to listen to the true Dhamma. He had accumulated Panya to such a degree that he saw the benefit of listening to the Dhamma. We read further on, I quote, "The Buddha said to the Brahmin Pingiya, 'People are intoxicated. They are oppressed by physical phenomena, rupas. It can be seen that people are disturbed because of rupas. Therefore, Pingiya, you should not be neglectful. You should give up clinging to rupas so that you will not be reborn.'" Unquote. People who have developed Panya know that dukkha, suffering, arises because of clinging to rupa. In order to abandon dukkha, we should eliminate clinging to rupas. The dukkha in our life is caused by rupas because we cling and take delight in the sense objects of color, sound, odor, flavor, and tangible object. All these objects are the cause of diverse kinds of dukkha. Further on we read, I quote, "The term by rupas, rupeso, means by the four great elements and the derived rupas that are dependent on these. Beings are disturbed and troubled. They are hurt and killed because of rupa. Rupa is the condition and the cause of this. Because of rupa, kings commit many kinds of deeds. They inflict many kinds of punishment. They have someone beaten by whips, by sticks, by cots of earth. They have people's hands, feet, earlobes, and nose cut off. They have a pot of boiling rice placed on someone's head." Unquote. But since there are rupas, one will experience the effect of being punished. One will be beaten by whips, etc. We read further on, quote, "The skin of the head is stripped off so that its color is white as a conch shell. Their body is cut up and smeared with a biting liquid. They have their skin stripped off, their bones smashed. They have the body sprinkled with hot oil. They let the dogs eat the flesh of their body. They let their body be pierced by spears, or they have it cut up with a knife. All beings are bound to be troubled, harmed, and killed because of rupa. One can see, investigate, and consider this so that Panya develops, and one sees clearly that all beings are troubled and harmed in those ways. Therefore, the Buddha said that he saw all beings being troubled because of rupa." Unquote. When we depart from this world, we do not know where we will go. It may happen that we shall receive punishment in the aforesaid ways. So long as we have a body, we do not know what will happen to it. But when there is a cause for receiving tortures, which is the result of akusala karma, rupa is the cause, the reason for experiencing painful feeling. We read further on, quote, when the eyesight declines or even disappears altogether, people are troubled. Apart from trouble caused by the ear, the nose, the tongue, visible object, sound, odor, flavor, and tangible object, it is caused by the family which supports the monk, by the fellow monks of the monastery, by gain, honor, praise, well-being, robes, alms food, dwelling, medicine. When these things decline or disappear altogether, so that one is without them, people are troubled. Because of these reasons, it is said that everybody is disturbed because of rupa. One should eliminate attachment to rupa so that one can give it up in this life. With regard to Pengiya, he attained enlightenment when the Buddha had finished this Dhamma course. Unquote. We see from this example that although Pengiya had accumulated perfections through listening to the Dhamma, he also needed the perfection of energy and of patience, because Panya develops only very gradually. It is a long and difficult process. The perfection of truthfulness and the perfection of determination are a necessary foundation for being able to listen to the Dhamma. One should be unshakable in one's determination to listen, no matter what circumstances, in what circumstances one may be. The perfection of Panya can be developed when we perform deeds of generosity, but we should know to what purpose we give things away. To eliminate defilements, that must be the purpose. Someone who does not know that Panya is to be developed in order to realize the Four Noble Truths may give without Panya, and still he may expect a reward for his good deeds. However, when someone gives away things with this understanding of realities, he knows that there are no beings, people or self. He knows that because of birth there will be suffering and trouble, life after life. If he has truly understood this, he knows that when there is an end to rebirth, there will be an end to suffering. This means that there will not be any more seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or the experience of tangible objects, and all the sufferings caused by them. All kinds of kusala have to be developed to the degree of a perfection, so that the Four Noble Truths can be realized and defilements be eradicated. When someone has become a stream winner, a sotapanna, he will not more than 7 times be reborn, and then he will attain arahatship. When sati and panya have become keener and more refined, we shall see that we have many different kinds of defilements through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body and the mind, the whole day. It is extremely difficult to eradicate them completely. This can only be achieved by developing every kind of kusala to the degree of a perfection. If someone has right understanding of the significance of the perfections, he will, when he performs generous deeds, not aim for anything else but the realization of the noble truths, so that defilements can be completely eradicated. We can only know ourselves whether our kusala is a perfection or not. If someone has no understanding of the way to eradicate defilements, his generosity is not a perfection. Someone who has listened to the Dhamma and notices his defilements may perform kusala of the degree of a perfection, but it all depends on the strength of his panya. Some people who have just begun to listen to the Dhamma say that they do not need to attain Nibbana, and they do not need to be a stream winner, a sotapanna, who will not be reborn more than seven times. They want to be reborn more than seven times. Thus it is evident that in their case, Panya of the level of listening is still very, very weak. For the development of the perfections, it is necessary that Panya clearly sees the benefit of developing them, be it the perfection of generosity, of sila, of renunciation, or of any of the other perfections. Thus, it all depends on the degree of Panya, to what extent the perfections can be developed. We may not have understood that the defilements and all dukkha, suffering, which arise in this life are in ourselves, that is, the nama dhammas and rupa dhammas we take for me, for self. The true cessation of dukkha is that nama dhamma and rupa dhamma do not have to be reborn. We read in the Mahanidesa Atadanta Sutta, unquote, the word man is used here with regard to someone who is inclined to Nibbana. This means that men, Nara, are people in this world who perform generous deeds, undertake sila, observe the fast day, prepare water for drinking and for other uses, sweep the grounds, pay respect to the stupa, develop kusala of the degree of the three dhatus, develop kusala of the three dhatus, elements that should be developed. They do not develop kusala because of rebirth, because of a plane of existence they want to attain, because they want to continue in the cycle of birth and death. They have as their goal to depart from dukkha. They are humble and they are inclined to nibbana. Because of this goal, they will develop all kinds of kusala. They are called men because they are inclined to nibbana. Unquote. Someone who has not understood the true meaning of dukkha may hope for the end of dukkha in as far as he sees dukkha as merely getting what he does not wish for. Or he may just want to have no suffering, no more suffering. However, when someone has understanding of the meaning of dukkha, his goal is departing from dukkha, in the sense of being inclined to nibbana, which is the end of dukkha inherent in all conditioned dhammas. This kind of understanding has as foundation listening to the dhamma and seeing the danger in akusala, seeing the disadvantage, suffering, and danger of rebirth, of the arising of nama dhammas and rupa dhammas. Akusala dhammas arise very often, since they are conditioned by all the akusala we have accumulated. If we see the benefit of the development of the perfections, we should find out whether in our daily life kusala arises often, or whether it arises very seldom. When kusala arises, we should know whether it has become firmer and whether it has reached already the degree of a perfection. Someone may have performed kusala time and again, also before he listened to the Dhamma, but after he listened to the Dhamma and he learned that the perfections are essential, are an essential condition for the realization of the Four Noble Truths, his sincerity and unshakable determination to further develop kusala will increase. We read in the commentary to the Mahanidesa of the Kudaka Nikaya, the commentary to the Guhataka Sutta Nidesa, the cave, quote, the term panya means it penetrates. What does it penetrate? It penetrates the noble truth, the truth of this is dukkha, etc. Unquote. The noble truth of dukkha is not merely dukkha which is suffering, oppressing us in daily life, such as loss of possessions, blame, pain, etc. The noble truth of dukkha is the truth that nothing is permanent, that whatever arises, such as seeing, hearing, thinking, happiness or pain, arises just for an extremely short moment and then disappears. Knowing this is dukkha means knowing that what arises and falls away immediately is dukkha. We read further on in this same commentary, and I quote, "This kind of panya is an indriya, a controlling faculty in the sense of predominance, because it overcomes ignorance, avijja," unquote. Whenever panya does not arise, we are overcome by ignorance. The characteristic of panya is the opposite of that of ignorance. Ignorance can be overcome when panya arises. We further on read, and I quote, "This kind of panya has the characteristic of illuminating and of penetration. As when a lamp burns at night in a four-walled house, the darkness ceases. Light manifests itself. So panya has illuminating as its characteristic." Unquote. So long as the truth has not been realized, we cannot speak of illumination. One merely begins to understand realities. However, panya, which has the characteristic of illuminating, can realize the truth when the element of nama, the element which experiences, appears through the mind door. Then there is no characteristic of rupa blended in with the characteristic of nama dhatu, the element of nama. That is the meaning of illumination. We read further on, quote, "To devise at the single session the 10,000 world spheres appear as of one light," unquote. Panya is illumination, which is nama dhamma. It is understanding which penetrates the characteristics of realities which were never before penetrated. Formerly, someone may have heard about them and understood in theory about them, but he may not yet have directly realized them. Panya can grow and it can become illumination. As we read, "Even when we sit in one place, the 10,000 world spheres can appear as of one light." This means that panya understands thoroughly and penetrates the characteristic of nama-dhamma when nama-dhamma appears. Nama-dhamma arises in the planes of the five khandhas, in the heavenly planes, in the rupa-brahma planes, in the arupa-brahma planes, or in whatever world of the countless world systems. But it has only one characteristic. Nama-dhamma is only the reality which experiences, the dhatu element which experiences an object. When panya penetrates the characteristics of realities, 10,000 world systems appear as of one light, which means that panya clearly understands the characteristics of realities, no matter where they arise. We read further on, quote, "A man introduces an oil lamp into a dark house. the lamp so introduced disperses the darkness, produces lights, sheds luster, makes object visible, so understanding as it arises dispels the darkness of ignorance, produces the light of wisdom, sheds the luster of knowledge, makes plain the four noble truths. Thus, understanding has illuminating as its characteristic." Unquote. While we are listening to the Dhamma at this moment, we are developing the perfection of Panya together with the perfections of energy and patience, so that in the future, Panya, that is illumination, that clearly understands realities, will arise. We read further on, quote, "And as a clever surgeon knows which food is suitable and which is not, even so is understanding." Unquote. Here we see that we should develop Panya in daily life so that it thoroughly knows and penetrates the characteristics of realities. We read, quote, "Even so, understanding as it arises knows states as kusala or akusala, serviceable or unserviceable, low or exalted, black or pure, similar or dissimilar." And this was said by the general of the Dhamma, Sariputta. "It knows thus, monk, it is in consequence called understanding. And what does it know? This is dukkha, etc. Thus it should be expanded, and thus knowing should be regarded as the characteristic of understanding." And here is another view. Understanding has the penetration of intrinsic nature, unfaltering penetration as a characteristic, like the penetration of an arrow shot by a skilled archer. Illumination of the object as its function, as if it were a lamp. Non-perplexity as its proximate cause, as if it were a good guide in the forest. Unquote. This is the characteristic of Panya, which knows everything as it really is. When Satipatthana does not arise, we spend our day in ignorance. We do not know which kind of akusala citta arises, what degree of lobha accompanies akusala citta, and we cannot clearly distinguish between attachment arising through the eyes, the ears, or the mind law. The whole day we are ignorant of the truth of realities. When Panya arises, it knows precisely which dhammas are kusala and which are akusala. There is no need to ask someone else whether it is kusala or kusala that arises, because Panya is able to understand this. Panya knows which dhammas are beneficial and which are not. When akusala citta arises, Panya clearly understands it. It knows the danger of akusala, and it knows that akusala should not increase. When kusala citta arises, Panya clearly understands it, and it knows the benefit of kusala. As we read in the commentary, Panya knows the characteristics of the dhammas that are low or exalted, dark or pure. This is the end of the first part of the fifth chapter of the Book of Perfections. I am reading the second part of chapter 5 of Ajahn Sujin's Book of the Perfections. Chapter 5 on the perfection of Panya. We read further on, and I quote, "Again, the development of Panya, with the aim to realize the Four Noble Truths, is walking a very long way, namely, traversing the cycle of birth and death, unquote. If Panya arises, we can understand that the cycle of birth and death we have traversed thus far is extremely long. So long as Panya has not become accomplished, the path leading to the end of the cycle is still extremely long. Thus, as we read, for the development of Panya, we have an extremely long way to go. We have to go to the further shore, into the direction of Nibbana, where, according to the commentary, quote, we never went yet, not even in our dreams, unquote. We need all the 10 perfections, because we have such an amount of defilements. It is not sufficient only to develop the perfection of Panya. If we do not know, understand what the perfections are, and in that way, and in what way we should develop them in our daily life, we cannot realize the Four Noble Truths, but we have merely vain expectations of achieving this. We do not know ourselves as what we truly are, and we do not understand that we need the perfections which are a supporting condition for the development of kusala and for the elimination of akusala dhammas. When we have understood that satipatthana should be developed together with the perfections, there are conditions for developing the perfections of generosity, of giving away the giving away of things for the benefit of someone else, and for the perfection of sila, the abstention from akusala kamma, and for the perfection of renunciation, detachment from visible objects, sound and the other sense objects. But this is a very gradual process. At some times, someone may notice that he is inclined to become more detached from sense objects, that he has had already enough of them, and that he should not indulge in them too much. With regard to the perfection of Panya, most people are longing for Panya, but the perfection of Panya, that is, Panya that understands the characteristics of realities, cannot arise if one does not develop it. Generally, people wish to know the truth of realities, but they should carefully investigate whether, at the moment of seeing, of the experience of the other sense objects or thinking, they have the sincere desire, chanda, to know and to understand the characteristics of the realities that are appearing at those very moments. When someone really sees the benefit of Panya, he needs to have energy and endurance, because the development of Panya is a difficult task which takes an endlessly long time. Understanding of the level of listening is only a foundation. It is not yet the perfection of Panya that is the condition for the realization of the Four Noble Truths. The perfection of Panya evolves with the development of the understanding of the characteristics of realities that are appearing. This includes the development of understanding of the level of listening, of considering realities, and also of the level of awareness of realities at this moment. We read in the Kudaka Nikaya, Chula Nidesa, Ajita's questions, quote, kusala sabadama namanam, that means, he is skillful in all dhammas. He knows that conditioned dhammas are impermanent, that conditioned dhammas are dukkha, and that all dhammas are anatta, unquote. In order directly to understand and penetrate the truth, we should study the Dhamma in all details, so that we come to know the precise meaning of the term all conditioned realities, Sankara Dhammas. This includes everything that appears right now, and this is impermanent. It arises and falls away. The dhammas which arise and fall away are dukkha, and all dhammas are anatta, non-self. We read further on, quote, again, he is skillful in the khandhas, the aggregates, the dhatus, elements, the ayatanas, bases, the paticca-samuppada, the dependent origination, satipatthana, the samapadanas, the four right efforts, the indriyas, the faculties, the balas, the powers, the factors of enlightenment, the path, the fruit, nibbana. This means he is in this way skillful in all dhammas. Unquote. The five khandhas of rupas, feelings, remembrance, formations and consciousness are present at this very moment. The elements, the ayatanas, bases, the dependent origination, refer to dhammas which are very intricate and arise in interdependence on one another. The four right efforts, the faculties and the powers are related to paññā. There must be right efforts with paññā so that the characteristics which are appearing can be understood. The person who is skillful in all dhammas is, as we read, skillful in the factors of enlightenment which pertain to the realization of the Four Noble Truths. The magacitta, past consciousness, which attains enlightenment, and the palacitta, fruition consciousness, which is the result of the magacitta and nibbana. We cannot be skillful in all dhammas if we merely listen for a short time. We read further on, I quote, and again the ayatanas basis are the eye and visible object, the ear and sound, the nose and other, the tongue and flavor, the body sense and tangible object, the mind and mental object, and these are called all dhammas. Unquote. The person who has developed paññā can, when he listens to the dhamma and also understands the characteristics of the dhammas that are appearing, realize at that moment the arising and falling away of realities. He is skillful in the ayatanas, such as seeing, and what appears through the eye sense at this very moment. Some people may wonder how, in the development of satipatthana, one can at the moment of seeing understand the characteristics of the realities that are appearing. There is only one way. When someone has listened to the Dhamma, he can be mindful so that he will understand the characteristic of seeing that sees at this very moment, or the characteristics of the other dhammas that are appearing at this moment. At the moment of understanding realities, satipatthana is being developed. Sati is mindful of the characteristic of the reality which experiences or knows, such as seeing, and paññā is able to understand that characteristic. It realizes that it is only a reality which is not self, not a being, not a person. At whatever moment seeing, hearing, the other sense cognitions or thinking present themselves, ayatanas can be understood, the eye and visible object, the ear and sound, the other sense bases and sense objects, thinking and mental objects. At those moments, paññā begins to develop by knowing the characteristics of the realities which are appearing. We can use the word satipatthana for this process, but what matters above all is knowing how paññā is to be developed. When seeing appears, one begins to understand the characteristic of seeing. When hearing appears, one begins to understand the characteristic of hearing, and so on for the other sense cognitions and for thinking. The perfection of energy, virya, should arise together with panya. Otherwise, one will make an effort for something else, different from the right effort to understand the characteristics of realities, just as they naturally arise in daily life. All dhammas are in conformity with each other. There is no contradiction between them. For example, the Buddha taught mindfulness of death, marana sati. Moreover, he also taught that there are three kinds of death: momentary death, kadika marana; conventional death, sammuti marana; and final death, sammucheda marana. Momentary death is death at each moment, and this means that the life of all of us occurs during only one moment of citta. One may say that life lasts long, that the person is very old, but in reality, life is a series of cittas that arise and fall away in succession. If we reduce the duration of life that seems very long into just one extremely short moment of citta, we can understand that life occurs during only one moment of seeing. At this moment of seeing, there is just one moment of life that arises and ceases. If there would not be seeing, there would be no life. Seeing has arisen and ceased, and then it dies. It lasts for an extremely short moment. At the moment we are hearing, life occurs only during one short moment of hearing, and then there is death. When someone who develops the perfection of panya is mindful of death, he should not merely think of death in conventional sense, sammuti marana. It is not enough to think, even with some degree of detachment, that there is nobody who can own anything, and that one day we shall be separated from all things, that all we used to take for self or for mine will disappear. Merely intellectual understanding cannot lead to the eradication of defilements. The true understanding of momentary death, death occurring at each moment of citta, is different from understanding of death in the conventional sense. We should understand momentary death. Each moment we are seeing, seeing arises and then dies. It is the same in the case of hearing, the other sense cognitions and thinking. If we have right understanding of momentary death, we will be able to investigate and know as they are the characteristics of the realities that are appearing. And this is mindfulness of death. There are different levels of mindfulness of death in accordance with a person's understanding. There is mindfulness of death of the level of someone who develops calm, and this is different from the level of someone who develops understanding by considering and investigating the characteristic of death which occurs each moment. If we are mindful of momentary death, we come to see the disadvantage of clinging to what falls away immediately. In the Dasanaka Jataka, number 401, the danger and disadvantage of clinging has been explained. We read in the commentary to the Dasanaka Jataka, quote, "At the time that the Bodhisatta was the wise Senaka, the royal counselor, Mahamoggallana was the wise Ayura, and Sariputta was the wise Pukusa. The son of the king's household priest came to wait on the king, and when he saw the queen, he became enamored. And when he went home, he lay down without taking food. When the king came to know about this, he gave the queen to him for 7 days, but asked him to send her back on the 8th day. However, it appeared that the son of the household priest and the king and the queen became enamored of each other and had fled to another country. And the king suffered great sorrow and became very sick. The royal physicians could not cure him. The Bodhisattva knew that the king did not suffer a bodily ailment, but that he was touched by mental sickness because he did not see the queen. He thought of using a specific trick to cure him. He arranged for a display where the king could see a man swallowing a sword with a sharp edge, which was 33 inches long. Thereupon the king asked the wise Ayura, in the first stanza, whether there was anything harder to do than swallowing this sword. The wise Ayura, who was to be in his last life Mahamogalana, answered that saying, "I shall give this away," is more difficult. Unquote. This shows that clinging to visible objects, sound and the other sense objects, is extremely difficult to give up. Anything else one may be able to do is easier than that. If someone clings, how can he say that he will give something away? And we further on read, quote, "When the king had heard the words of the wise Ayura, he thought, 'I have said that I would give the queen to the son of the household priest, and so I have done what is very hard to do.' Hence his sorrow at heart became a little lighter, since he had done what was hard to do. The king wondered whether there was something else harder to do than saying, 'I shall give something to someone else.' He reflected that speaking in such a way is difficult, but he wondered whether there was something else more difficult. Thereupon the king asked the wise Pukusa whether there was anything else more difficult to do than saying that one would give something away. Thereupon the wise Pukusa spoke, in order to solve this problem, the 4th stanza. "People do not value words that are vainly spoken and that are without effect. But when someone makes a promise and can decrease clinging, this is more difficult than swallowing a sword or merely promising something." Unquote. This passage deals with sincerity, with truthfulness pertaining to one's thinking and to the words one has spoken. Thus, someone may say that he shall give, but it is more difficult to truly give. When confidence in kusala, sadha, arises, someone may well say that he shall give, but it may happen that he does not give. It is more difficult to act according to one's promise. When there is sincerity and truthfulness, someone is able to follow up in action what he has promised. We then read that the wise Pukusa said, quote, "All other things are easy to do, King Magadha. I have answered you." The king, when he heard this, considered, "I first said, 'I will give the queen to the priest's son.' And then I did according to my word and I gave her. Surely I have done a difficult thing." So his sorrow became lighter again. Unquote. We see that the king could give up attachment. He could take action in accordance with the words he had spoken. And this is harder to do than swallowing a sword of 33 inches long. We read then, unquote, quote, "Then it came to his mind, 'There is no wiser than wise Seneca. I will ask this question of him.'" Seneca would be in his last life the Sammasambuddha, the exalted one. So the king asked wise Seneca, "What is harder to do than giving something away?" And the wise Seneca, when he answered the king's question, spoke the sixth stanza. "If a man should give a gift, whether small or great, in charity, no regret the giving afterwards, nor sorrow about it. Not having regret is harder than swallowing a sword. It is harder than saying that one will give. It is harder than giving what is dear to one. All other things are easier to do than this. King Magadha, I have answered you." This is what the wise Seneca said. And when the king had heard the words of the Bodhisatta, he reflected, "When I gave the queen to the priest's son, I had sorrow about this, and this is not proper. If the queen loved me, she would not forsake her kingdom and flee away. But since she acted like this, of what use is it to have sorrow about her?" And when the king reflected in this way, all his sorrow disappeared as a drop of water falling from a lotus leaf. At that moment he was cured of his sickness and became well and happy. He praised the Bodhisatta and spoke the last stanza. "Wise Ayura and wise Pokusa answered my questions. The answer of wise Seneca solved my problems completely, saying, 'When one gives something, one should not regret it afterwards.' The king, who was delighted, praised him and gave him abundance of gift. When the Buddha gave this Dhamma course, he explained the true Dhamma and finally told the story of this Jataka to a monk who wanted to leave the order because he was tempted by his former wife. In a former wife's life, he was the king, and now he attained the first stage of enlightenment, the stage of the Sotapanna. The Buddha said that Mahamoggallana was wise Ayura and Sariputta wise Pukusa, and that he, the Tathagata, was wise Seneca." Unquote. Here we can see that it is important not to have regret after we have given something away. When we have regret, it is evident that we cling and that we have attachment to the object we give away. But this object is only something outside us. In reality, there is not anybody who can possess it or who can be the owner at the time, at all the time. We should be mindful of the momentary death of realities. When we have seen an object just for an extremely short moment, attachment to it arises. But at all moments when there is seeing, there is no visible object anymore. No visible object does appear anymore. Panya and all kinds of kusala must have sufficient strength so that one is able to further develop and accumulate them time and again for an endlessly long time, from life to life. Panya has to be developed so that we know the nature of our citta and understand what is beneficial and what is not, when there is kusala citta and when there is akusala citta. We may have regret after we have given something away because of our clinging. However, when satipatthana arises, we can notice that we cling to the nama and rupa that appear, and that we do not want to let go of them, that we do not want to give up the idea of self, being or person. The stages of insight are of many degrees. Its development is a gradual process because it is difficult to give up nama and rupa. The Dispeller of Delusion, the Commentary to the Book of Analysis, Chapter 4, Classification of the Truth, 85, states about the fourth noble truth, the path, quote, "The truth of the path has the characteristic of outlet. Its function is to abandon defilements. It manifests itself as emergence," unquote. The commentary explains that apart from the path, there is no other outlet, no way out, and that this is true, that it is not otherwise. The Dispeller of Delusion mentions that some people deny the Four Noble Truths and proclaim that the truth of dukkha is different, and the same for the other truths, three truths. With regard to the fourth truth, the path, the Dispeller of Delusion explains that the wise know that the path is a truth, because it is truly an outlet. With these words, it has been refuted that the path would not be an outlet, not a way out. Each time when sati arises and is aware of the characteristics of realities and investigates them so that the characteristic of nama, the dhamma which experience, can be distinguished from the characteristic of rupas which appears, the path is further developed. This is the path that is a true way out, leading to the eradication of defilements. Hence it has been said that the wise know that the path is a truth, that it is the only way leading to the eradication of defilements. We read further in the Dispeller of Delusion about the origin of dukkha, which is craving. Quote, "No other source of dukkha but craving, nor ought that source provides but dukkha. This certainty in causing dukkha is why it is considered truth." Unquote. We read further on about the origin of dukkha, that the Buddha announced the truth of dukkha first, and after that the truth of the origin of dukkha. He explained that dukkha would not arise without conditions, and that its arising is not due to the creation by a Lord Creator, etc., but that it is due to craving. Dukkha does not come from a cause outside, but all dukkha comes from clinging to realities, from taking them for self or me, and at such moments there is lobha, attachment to this wrong view. If Panya comes to know the truth of non-self, if it is able to eliminate the view that nama and rupa are self, and if it understands the characteristics of realities as they truly are, dukkha can decrease. There will be less dukkha even when Panya is still of the level of investigating and considering the realities that are appearing, and begins to understand them as not self, not mine. However, only when the stage of enlightenment of the supreme winner Sotapanna has been attained, the wrong view that takes realities for self and all other kinds of wrong view are completely eradicated. So long as one has not become a Sotapanna, there must be dukkha, because one takes realities for self, and if wrong view is firmly ingrained, dukkha will increase. Before Panya can be accomplished to the degree of attaining the different stages of insight knowledge, we should begin to understand that our life evolves in accordance with karma, and that there is no escape from the conditions for the arising of citta, cetasika and rupa. We should have a firm understanding of karma and the factors which are the conditions for life to evolve each day, bound up as it is with joy and sorrow. We are sometimes delighted and thrilled, and sometimes depressed or afraid. At times, our expectations come true, at times we are disappointed. There are pleasant and unpleasant events. There are birth, old age, sickness and death. We live in ignorance, but when Panya arises in daily life, it is able to consider the characteristics of realities and to understand them as not a being, a person or a self, but only realities which arise because of their own conditions. The reality which experiences, the element which experiences, arises all the time in our life. We are so used to experiencing objects that we do not realize when we see at this moment that seeing is a reality which experiences, or when sound appears and we are hearing at this moment, that hearing is a reality which experiences. Satipatthana is awareness of the dhammas which are real in our daily life. And through Satipatthana, Panya can further develop to the degree of realizing the stages of insight. When the kanda of rupa appears, sati can be mindful of it. When the kanda of consciousness appears, which experiences an object through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body scent, or the mind door, sati can be mindful. However, there should be awareness and understanding also of the kandas of feeling, of remembrance, sanya, and formations, sankara kanda. If there is no understanding of all five kandas, defilements cannot be eradicated. If Satipatthana does not arise in our daily life, and Panya does not investigate the characteristic of each reality that appears, it is impossible to eliminate wrong view. When remembrance or perception arises, or when there are conditions for liking or for detesting something, for wholesome thinking or for evil thinking, Panya can realize that all these phenomena which are included in the nama kandas are truly not self. They are only realities, each with their own characteristic. Listening to the Dhamma is most beneficial if we let ourselves be guided by the Dhamma and investigate our own citta. When we hear about a person's death, it can remind us of the truth and to reflect upon ourselves. The person who died may have been full of attachment. He may have liked paintings, music, or other beautiful objects that were enticing. We should reflect upon our own cittas and consider whether we are like the person who died. We can be reminded of momentary death, of the shortness of each moment of citta that arises and falls away immediately. If we have a great deal of attachment, if we cling to possessions, we should remember that in reality, when something appears through the eyes, attachment and delight arise just when we are seeing. When a beautiful sound appears through the ears, attachment arises when we are hearing that sound. When a delicious odor appears, it conditions attachment only for an extremely short moment, when that odor is smelled. And it is the same with flavor and tangible object. We can see in our daily life that even though rupa which arises falls away very rapidly, there is still attachment to that rupa which lasts for such a short moment. There is ignorance and attachment so long as Panya is not being developed. When we notice a person who is full of dosa, we should reflect upon our own citta. We should consider whether we ourselves are often angry, or whether we are irritated and disturbed time and again, or whether we are vengeful towards someone else. We should know that in reality there is no person. We have met the person we are angry with only during one life, and after this life he is no longer there. Should we be angry with him after he has passed away? So long as we see that person, we may have angry thoughts about him or be irritated about him, but we should remember that he will not be for a long time in this world and will depart forever. From then on, there will no longer be any person in his. When we meet someone, we never know whether this is the last time that we see him, and if we do not consider this, we may treat him badly. Whereas, if we realize that this may be the last opportunity that we see him, it may condition the citta to be humble and gentle. We can have kindness and compassion. Before we studied the Dhamma, we had no understanding of the realities appearing through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body scent, and the mind door. We had a great deal of ignorance. By listening to the Dhamma, we can come to know that there are realities appearing each with their own characteristic, and that we should study these. We should not merely study them in theory, or merely listen to the explanation about them without carefully considering their true nature. We should remember that at this very moment realities are appearing, and that the true characteristics of those dhammas which arise and fall away should be penetrated. Hence we can be reminded that we should listen and thoroughly consider the Dhamma, so that understanding is accumulated. Understanding is a condition for being aware diligently of the characteristics of the Dhamma at this moment. If we know that we still have a great deal of ignorance, moha, which should be eradicated, we will not be neglectful, but continue to listen to the Dhamma and to develop each kind of kusala. This is the end of chapter 5 of Ajahn Sutjen's book on the perfections.